You're tuned to the Jimmy Flame Podcast, Daddy. I wanted to give y'all a quick shout out. Yes, you, the listener. Get involved. It's easy. Just push the call in button at the bottom of your screen. It's a direct line to the studio where you can leave me a shout out, you can leave your friend a shout out, or you can leave me a 1 minute message that might end up on the air. Go ahead, hit that button, Daddy, because I'd love to hear from you. Flame on!
Gentlemen, boys and girls, baseball fans and history buffs, welcome to the special presentation of the Big Game James Show, presented by thinkslinger.org. And now, presenting your most handsome, stately, whimsical, provocative, ludicrous host, Big Game James.
Back in September of 2011, Aroldis Chapman entered Major League Baseball's record books when he uncorked a stunning 105.1-mile-per-hour pitch in a regular season baseball game. Hitting 100 miles per hour has become kind of a common feat, as eight pitchers did so last year, that is the 2014 season. Indeed, in eFastball.com's list of pitchers who have thrown 102 miles per hour or faster in Major League Baseball history, 16 of the 21 listed hit their marks in the 2002 season or later. It is no longer a rarity in the game. While most come firing out of the bullpen in setup or closer roles, hitters are unlucky enough to see similar velocities from starters these days. The best, as of showtime, average around 96.4 miles per hour. But there was one pitcher who didn't just reach those magical numbers. He absolutely crushed them back in 1985, putting up numbers that will never be seen again. His name was Sid Finch, and here is his story.
The world knows that the fastball's coming. Well, a guy that can throw that hard is pretty bad.
When he broke into Major League Baseball in 1985, New York Mets pitching sensation Sid Finch stunned the world of baseball with his insane arm. He'd never learned how to play the game of baseball, but could throw a pitch 168 miles per hour with pinpoint accuracy. He was a man full of controversy and quirks, like his penchant for pitching with just one boot, his bizarre background as a Tibetan monk, and musical abilities playing the French horn. And then, on April 1st, 1985, Sid Finch abruptly announced his retirement before his baseball career even had a chance to begin. Consequently, Finch became the best baseball prospect never to play a game. He told the world that he just wanted to play golf.
As I'm walking off, Gary Carter's there signing autographs. People are coming out of the stands to get closer, and they're holding out baseballs to have signed. And I didn't feel right actually signing the baseballs for the people. And Gary Carter finally looked over and said, "Come on, Sid, sign the ball. Just join the ranks. Come on along." So they just started signing Sid Finch baseballs. It's been unusual.
Philip, did you have tests today at school too?
Sid still throws the ball around, albeit a little gentler, into the midst of his sons. It's an absolutely amazing story, but a story is all it ever was. Well, it turns out that the Sid Finch story, the phenomenon Sid Finch, was just an elaborate April Fool's hoax perpetuated by Sports Illustrated writer George Plimpton.
He came up with the idea of Sid Finch, this mystic Buddhist monk character that, through the power of Zen, was able to develop this great fastball.
Burton's friend, Lane Stewart, was the photographer on the set and decided that Burton himself would actually become Sid Finch.
He had a printout from George on the characteristics of this guy, what he was all about. So it was essentially up to Lane and I to kind of work with that and go with
inquiries it. About the whereabouts of Sid Finch came pouring in from around the world, and in the early 90s, Joe Burton, a.k.a. Sid Finch, sat down with a reporter and described how he actually collaborated to create the Sid Finch myth. One of those questions? Who in the world decided that Sid Finch was going to throw in excess of 160 miles per hour?
I told George if he got it down to about 140, it'd probably be really believable, but he liked the whole idea of sticking with 168.
Well, what about pitching with just one shoe on?
I was walking around with only one boot on and the other big foot just bare. That certainly caused a response. It seemed to have taken almost a day or two for word to get out that this was just a big April Fool's joke. It wasn't in the years of that sort of internet craze where it just would have, that whole surprise, the story would have probably been dismissed in almost instantly.
Sid would become an instant celebrity, and no matter how many years had passed, he would still be recognized on the street. So, it goes like this. What did Sid Finch make of his newfound celebrity?
I've been exposed to a lot of the sports scene. I've met some wonderful people over the years, some good athletes, some sports fans. I've had some great adventures because of it.
Had a little. The Mets even gave Finch a locker room that sat right between George Foster and Daryl Strawberry. In reality, Sid Finch is a mild-mannered art teacher hailing from Chicago. His students weren't even alive when the Finch story first broke. But even today, every year, around spring, he mixes a little history with his art lectures.
Only possessions were a Tibetan food bowl and a rug.
The story was released in late March 1985. New York Met fans were overjoyed at their luck in finding such a player and flooded Sports Illustrated with requests for more information. The sports editor of one of New York's newspapers complained to Jay Horowitz, the public relations director of the Mets, for allowing Sports Illustrated to have the scoop. Two unnamed general managers called Commissioner of Baseball Peter Ueberroth to ask how their batters could face Finch safely. Meanwhile, the St. Petersburg Times sent a reporter to find Finch, and a radio talk show host claimed he saw Finch pitch. The three major networks, CBS, NBC, and ABC, and the local St. Petersburg, Florida newspapers sent reporters to Al Lang Stadium for a press conference about Finch. At the April 2nd press conference, Burton announced his retirement. The subhead of the article read, "He's a pitcher, part yogi and part recluse. Impressively liberated from our opulent lifestyle. Sid's deciding about yoga and his future in baseball. He announced he would play golf." The first letters of these words spell out, "Happy April Fool's Day." Despite this clue and the obvious absurdity of the article, many people believed Finch actually existed. The magazine printed a much smaller article in the following April 8th issue announcing Finch's retirement. It then announced, finally, on April 15th, that it was all just a hoax. Reporting on this story for thinkslinger.org, this has been James F. Thomas IV, signing off. And we'll see you next time on the Big Game James Show.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.